Hey Bads, this is Victor Ung, one of the hosts of this podcast. And before we get into this episode with our guy, Gavin Masumiya, I wanted to share a quick message with you about the 2020 census. The census is our American way of counting everyone living in the United States to determine how resources are allocated and how decisions are made. This data is used to allocate $1.5 trillion to fund important services like schools, libraries, roads, and healthcare. Businesses also use this data to decide whether to open up new stores in our neighborhoods. And this is especially important for the Asian American community, seeing that 40% of families have yet to respond, making us underrepresented in our local communities. So, this week, along with the other fellow Asian organizations across the country, member shows of the Asian Podcast Network, like yours truly, are proud to participate in the 2020 Census Asian Week of Action. If you haven't already, take a moment to go to 2020census.gov to fill out yours for your household. This is our last chance for the next 10 years, and the deadline is fast approaching. It takes just minutes and can make a decade of impact. We also encourage you to check in with your family and friends to make sure they do the same. Let's make sure the voices of our amazing community are heard loud and clear and participate in the 2020 census. Let's get counted and shape our future, here and now. And with that, let's get right into the episode with Gavin Masumiya.
All right. Hey, what's up, everybody? It's Sabo Shen with the Bad Podcast. And this week, we got another excellent, excellent episode. I know you guys have been enjoying all the episodes so far, but this guest in particular is one of my favorite guests. I interviewed him on the Ham Podcast, and I had so much fun with him. We wanted to ask him back for the Bad Podcast. So let me introduce you guys to Gavin Masumiya. He is a mindset coach. He is the founder of Flowmasters. Gavin, welcome to the show.
Dude, I'm super glad to be here.
All right. I was expecting like a little bit more response with that intro, but
Yeah, you know what? I'm playing with the energy a little bit. I like what our mutual friend Marcus had talked about earlier in a Facebook Live about you have the flow stick shift, you know? And I just experiment with different energies. I just wanted to come with a little bit of like, okay, I'm good. Good.
Awesome.
Yeah,
awesome.
Thank you for having me here.
Hell yeah.
Hey.
And my co-pilot today is the host of the Human Up podcast, Victor Ung. How you doing today, Victor?
What up? Yes. Thanks for having me too. I'm excited to be part of the Badass Asian Dudes and excited to talk with Gavin about some good shit here.
Let's go.
All right. Well, the first question we had for you today, Gavin, is what does being a badass Asian dude mean to you?
Interesting question.
And actually, before we get into that, you know, I did your intro for you, but, you know, for people that don't know you, how do you kind of describe yourself and what you do?
Yeah. Well, first off, I'm a human being. Then everything comes secondary to that. You know, like I'm a fourth generation Japanese American. I'm a mindset coach. I'm very fascinated with the psychological mechanisms behind the things that we do. And I'm also very fascinated with flow state. You know, and it's that optimal state of consciousness where we perform at our best. And inside of Flowmasters, that's my wheelhouse that I am so obsessed about. Like it is my healthy addiction. But basically, I'm a human. I love flow. I love mindset, and I'm really out to transform the self-esteem of marginalized voices in the world.
Yeah, I actually really love that too, and like we've been basically hanging out for quite a few months now since
we have.
Since
you're right.
Since you started this thing, and it's been super cool to even just watch that sort of progress as well. But I'd love to kind of just tap into like even before that, you know, and what was your story even coming into this work or even like focusing your attention around building a business around this?
Yeah, really, really good question. So prior to it, what I was primarily doing, like I had my previous career was actually in social services, which I know Sable knows a lot about. And that was 8 years of my career. And it was just, my heart wasn't in it, you know? And the thing that I do really appreciate in retrospect, right? I really think that there's a lot of value in looking back and using and seeing the touch points of different things on what did I like, what did I not like, what did I wish things could have went differently. But during that, that's when I really started finding out more about coaching. And people would just tell me like, hey, have you ever thought about, I know that you're considering becoming a clinical psychologist. Have you ever thought about coaching? And the reason why I asked that, one of my friends said it, is because like, it's just, you seem like you have that kind of quality to you. And back in the day, that was like 2011. So I didn't know what that was. So I just researched and found through Tony Robbins. I saw his TED talk, and then he talked about the 6 human needs under human needs psychology. I'm like, oh, wow, there's actually a little bit of psychology that goes into coaching. And so anyways, a couple years later, I moved to Japan to explore my mom's career. So I didn't put this into perspective, but social services was my dad's career, right? When I got out of school at UC Irvine studying psychology, I didn't want to rush into it. I'm making this very long-winded, but it just goes to show like, when you don't know what you do want to do sometimes, the easiest thing is to follow the footsteps of somebody that you know. So I followed my dad's footsteps. I realized it took me a long time, but that wasn't my role, and I was comfortable, but it wasn't what I wanted to do. And so I explored going to Japan, how to kill 2 birds with 1 stone, traveling around the motherland. I'm Japanese American, and also thinking about teaching. And that I was just like, well, first off, dude, junior high school students are a pain in the ass. So I knew that that was just not the age group that I wanted to deal with at all. But what I appreciated about it was group facilitation. I got to be in front of like 40 students who didn't give a shit about English for the most part. And then how do I still command the respect even if they didn't respect the main teacher? You know, and I found that kind of fascinating. It was really challenging, more challenging than I thought. But I learned a lot about holding space. And so every single situation for anybody that's listening that you're going through, that maybe you're going through something right now that you don't really enjoy, or you don't find much pleasure in, there's a lot of power in also pain as well. And so I just wanted to point that out. But it was actually in Japan that I started coaching people for free. You know, I started coaching people in the US Navy, and then also some people back home. And then that's when I fell in love. I would commit my weekends on Saturdays, specifically in the morning. But then I came back, started coaching people, got my job back to get some cash flow, started coaching. I quit in 2018 to pursue coaching full time, you know, and it's been up and downhill as far as like month to month. As an entrepreneur, it totally fluctuates, right? But, you know, just about like 4 years ago, I met a friend in Toastmasters. One of my other passions is in public speaking. And he saw me speak one time, and then we just formed a friendship and found out accidentally that we both like freestyle, but we just didn't have the courage to show it. So once again, like, you know, I would practice in my closet basically by myself. But then when we come together, it's just, we both felt so alive. I've never felt it before. And my cousin moved in with me. He got into it, and then he fell in love. And then he started exploring his more poetic side. And then we were like, what if we just started sharing it publicly? And so I'm making this a big story. But that was, it all came, like, I realized that Flowmasters was really powerful when we did it at the beach. And it was the shittiest situation in a way, because the wind was blowing. It's called Dockweiler Beach. The planes were going over. We didn't get a fire pit. The music sucked because the music wasn't trapping the sound. But people still found value in it. And I was like, oh my God, we got to find out how to do something with this. And yeah, it inspired this thing that I was later a part of called the Creative Gathering. And then quarantine happened. So I had to figure out, you know, just got to be resourceful. How do I turn this into a virtual experience? And then finding amazing people like Sable, who's, you know, and like you, Victor, you never know what's going to happen when you just put yourself out there. When you put yourself out there, it's an amazing thing. So.
Love it. Love it. Yeah, no, I hear a lot from that. It is that, like, again, like you just said, like putting yourself out there and then kind of seeing what opportunities do present themselves and taking advantage of that, right? I think as a common theme with all of us being Asian dudes here is that, you know, sometimes we might be chasing opportunities or chasing a certain path to you know, try to force something to open versus being adaptable to things coming, and then more importantly, taking that risky step to do something about that, right? Things kind of just present themselves, but we forget to actually take action, or maybe managing the fears, the limiting beliefs that come up. So for you to say like, fuck all that, all right? Like, how can I, you know, do, how can I start my own thing and take advantage of finding my own sense of flow, which we're definitely going to get into what the Flow Masters is in that.
Of course.
But, you know, hearing about, you know, your story growing up, I'm always curious, like, what were those obstacles then, or what kind of resistance did you get, if any, from, you know, wanting to live your life with more intention, with more meaning, and to, you know, break away from other people or other people's shoulds?
Yeah, I mean, I think it goes deep. You know, I was a middle child growing up, and I didn't think that I was a neglected middle child. I just thought, you know, that I was inferior to my younger brother, my older sister. I just thought that they exceeded me so much. They were just smarter than me. And that my sister never had lower than a 4.0. I was pretty average, you know, like I had to work. I had to bust my ass to get a 3.5. I do my homework and stuff just to get it, not a 4.0, 3.5, you know. There was an inferiority complex that I had. And so in a way, I had to figure out like, okay, if I'm not going to beat my siblings, it's competitive, you know, like family competition. It's like, if I can't beat my brother and my sister intellectually, I have to find another way. So I'm like, okay, emotionally, socially, let me hone this shit, you know. I have to break through this little shyness thing that's going on inside of me. And so it started off like I kind of like strong suited my way. I really considered myself shy all throughout middle school and in parts of high school, but I think there were just few moments, like even going back, I told both of you, but just for the sake of listeners out there, growing up, like fifth grade, there was this one thing, it just stood out to me so much. And so in fifth grade, before you go to middle school, before you have culmination, we had like this play that we're supposed to do. And the play was called Lucy Whipple. And then people had different roles there. And I really wanted to be a particular role. And the role was, his name was Mr. Scatter. He owned the general store inside this little country. And I really wanted that role for some reason. And who ended up actually getting the role was, his name was Peter Evenson. He was this popular white dude. And all the girls liked him, you know. To be honest, he was kind of a dick, you know. But people liked him for some reason. And that alone I found fascinating, right? Oh, the dick is going to get, it's cool. So think about the model that served for me in middle school, right? But piggybacking that was, I wanted that role, but I didn't have the courage to. And so what I ended up being was, I ended up being stage crew, which was the shadow, the one that didn't have any lines, that were in parentheses in the script. Move the chair, put the flower right here, change the backdrop, right? And so I had the script at home, and what I would end up doing is I would actually practice the lines, specific lines that I really liked, because that's how much I really wanted that role. So actually I shared it with y'all, but yeah, one of the lines is ingrained in my brain, you know, and I still remember it when I was 12 years old. I'm 33 now, you know, and the line was like, beans and bacon, fish and cans, barrels of flour, sacks of yams, raisins, rice, salt, pork and such, woods and cotton, soft to touch, tubs and buckets, pots and pans, gullicks from the feral lands, kegs and whiskey, candy, trees, picks and shovels, pickled beets. We take credit, coins and dust, come to scatters, a store to trust. You know, and like that thing just crystallized in me just how, you know, how much I wanted to be seen. And I made myself really wrong for that. Like, oh, you should have done that. You know, you should have went for that. And that, in a way, was one of those ignite moments in my life, where in happened later on. But that moment, like in my head, nothing changed right away behaviorally, but in my head, I was like, I got to do something about this. You got to stop being a little Asian, you know? And so just through years of doing Toastmasters, doing these different types of speech competitions, doing these little social experiments on Venice Beach, rapping on Venice Beach, just because I'm like, I'm just going to put myself out there, you know? That slowly just starts to sculpt the way that I saw myself. You build resilience when people are like, you suck. You have to build resilience on that. You know, I have to find a way on how do I actually turn that into a strength. And I always remember that, you know, and I look back and I'm like, I wanted to be that dude, but I realize now it's just like, I don't want to be that dude.
Yeah.
I don't want to be Tony Robbins. I'm here to be me and the best version of myself, you know? So that was one of those pain points for me, is wanting to be somebody, that character, but then opting out for something much smaller.
Yeah, no, and I love that story because there's definitely so much that can be drawn out of our childhood in that sense, in terms of what we really and truly care about to the core, without, like, before all the adulting that we do, all the responsibilities, all the other things that people, you know, project onto you, right? This is that core thing that really lights you up. And it sounds like there's been a whole process in reconnecting to that. And then what I also kind of pull from that too is a reminder in the growth that I've been, even actually being in Flowmasters, was really, you know, being comfortable with myself and what I want to express and what I care about, and not feeling like not feeling like other people will judge me for it and whatnot, and that I can create my own version of whatever. And so, like, so I guess having that said, you know, maybe you can go into quickly, like, what really is Flowmasters, you know, and what is your goal and what is that mission that you're going after for that?
Yeah. I when people think of Flowmasters, you know, some people might think automatically of just like freestyle rapping, which is indeed, if you look at it sometimes in certain respects, it's like, oh, they're freestyle rapping. But really underneath it, I really see it as it's a disguise, you know? You come in and you freestyle rap, but really you get your life out of it, you know? And so, you know, Flowmasters in a nutshell is really a space where you can come there, you can take your mask off, and you can just be yourself through the power of music. And music has a beautiful way of emoting. And so when you can just have a conversation with music, or you even have a monologue and you talk about what you care about, what you love, what you're afraid of, and all of those things, it has a way of moving people. And it doesn't even rhyme. And so for me, like, Flowmasters is a space for people to really get that you can truly be appreciated for being yourself. And it's sacred because not every space in the world will create that space. You can be yourself in certain spaces and you will be ostracized for it. You know, but in Flowmasters, I want it to be a sacred space. Well, hey, in this space, you don't need permission to be yourself in the world.
Yeah.
You still won't be, you may not be liked, but you don't never need permission. But if you feel like you do, you come here and you can express yourself. And from here, let's build you up. Let's build your character. Let's build your self-esteem inside of this. And what I've noticed is that people that come out, they build themselves up and they, you know, it inspires them. Like this one guy, Omar, he's freaking awesome. He started posting videos about him crumping and freestyling at the same time, because he's seeing that you can cross-pollinate your interests, which is the origin of Flowmasters, which is an intersection of three things: coaching, public speaking, and freestyle. And it's just like, anybody can cross-pollinate that way. Shout out to Elizabeth Gilbert. She brought that concept to me, you know? But that's really what it is. It's a space for you to honestly express yourself. And through that, you build your self-esteem, and that gives you more courage to do those things in the world that you've always wanted to do.
Mm-hmm. It's very relevant to what this podcast is about, right? Being badass and redefining what that means for yourself too.
Yeah.
And because what I hear from that too is like, you know, a big part of being badass is really finding your own version of like that cross pollination of your interests, of your skills, of what other people might care about, kind of that intersection of things. And I think it might be common, you know, I always try to resist generalizing, but it's kind of hard to do. But, you know, I think it is common still in a lot of Asian families where we don't really consider ourselves creative or expressive. And I guess I kind of like to take this opportunity to speak to the listeners who maybe have felt like they've been limited or contained or somehow, you know, just held back, whether from their own limiting beliefs or from other people's
totally
kind of ideas of what it means. And so it's super cool that you can offer that space for people to, like, first of all and foremost, be yourself, right? Like, this is not a place to impress or perform or to, you know, rap the right way or whatever or anything like that, but it's just to break past a lot of those barriers that might be holding you back from being badass in the way.
Totally. I mean, you know, one thing that actually comes to mind, and you can just laser it back if you feel like it's digressing, but it's that whole knot of I'm not creative. I'm not a creative person. That right there is not flow. You know, like, it's just that place, you're already judging yourself, right? And so for those of you who don't know, like, getting in the flow, I believe that we're all massively creative people. You may not be creative in the way that I'm creative, or like, you're not going to articulate and communicate in the way that I will. And I don't expect you to, like, you know, that wouldn't be, you can try on other people's, but ultimately it's, you know, what makes Flowmaster so powerful is that it starts to remove that. It removes the seal of I'm not something into just expression. There's no right or wrong in Flowmaster. What it is just you expressing yourself. And from that place, you would get surprised at how creative you are as a person when you can be in a space where you're not feeling judged and you're just free to roam inside the labyrinth of your own mind. And that is so beautiful. But I mean, it's a common thing for us to want to judge ourselves all the time. You know, you turn on the TV, admit it, like, there's constant judgments. Any channel, any newscast is on there, there's no objectivity. They're all biased based on biases are judgments. And so there's judgments everywhere. So it's so easy when society and what we're force-fed are judgments, judgment calls. But in Flowmaster's and in other spaces, this is only one vehicle. So I'm not here to say you this is the way. I'll tell you this is a way, right, and a badass way at that. And I will take ownership of that as a judgment. I think it's fucking badass. That's why I do it, you know? And but from that place, when we can get to a place of when we're not judging ourselves and we explore, we start to find out things that we never knew, because right now you don't know what you don't know. You know, you might think that you're not creative, but maybe you never tried knitting before. Maybe you never tried golf before. And there are things that I know that I would probably be passionate about that I just haven't tried yet. You know?
Yeah. No, and it's just about giving us that permission to trust ourselves in whatever we do, whatever we explore. I think that was kind of a missing component that I'd say I definitely fell from, you know, seeing or kind of carved into an expected path of, you know, this is what you should do, like, from my parents or grandparents. And so, like, all I did was follow, right? And so we lose that trust to then start our own thing. So I've been asking a lot of questions. I don't know if Sabo had anything to drop in or ask about that.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting because the whole notion of am I a creative person or not, it reminds me of, like, you know, when people just say, you know, like, some people are just more musical than me, or some people have more rhythm than me, or, you know, I don't have good memory. You know, people are born with good memories. And, you know, I really believe, like, creativity, musicality, rhythm, you know, these are all just other muscles that you could work out. You know, if you don't work out your creative muscles, like, it's hard to create, you know. But having two kids and being the room parent for basically all of my daughter's classes. You know, like, I'm a believer. Everyone is creative. All these kids are super creative, you know, and that's why I always try to encourage them, you know, to keep expressing themselves through painting, through talking, through blogging, through YouTubing, whatever it is. And, you know, I really think, you know, Gavin, you're onto something. You know, this skill, I believe, will show people, like, even if you're not a great freestyler, like, you can speak honestly. You can tap into your truth. And I think once you tap into that and you start doing it unapologetically, there's something about that thing that I think just expands your mind into thinking, oh shit, I didn't think I could freestyle, but now I could freestyle. What other things did I think I couldn't do? And that's why I was telling you, you know, that's why I want to try contemporary dancing. Cause that was like the one thing that I felt like, okay, out of all the things that I've pushed myself doing, like, I just couldn't imagine myself doing contemporary dancing. And I was like, all right, that's the thing I want to challenge myself with. So thank you, Gavin. So it wasn't really a question. It was just more of like an observation. But what are your thoughts about, you know, building creativity or building musicality?
I think that building creativity, you know, my former career in social services, 8 years, was working with kids from 3 to 17 years old, you know, kids and teenagers. And I felt the same way, that they're just massively created, where they can create this whole game out of just holding dirt, you know? And like, what? You know, what adults will do that now? It's just like, oh, that's childish stuff. And the minute that I did, I remember actually one time I went on a date. And so I even in my coaching, but what I do is I kind of test based on my values. Do we have similar values? I really value playfulness. And I think that's a really important piece to creativity, is being willing to play and to wonder, right? To play and to wonder. Even in coaching, when it comes to clients or people that I work with, like, if they don't have the capacity to wonder, well, they probably wouldn't come to me in the first place. But I gauge that they're not willing to wonder about something different. I can't help them. I can't. But if you're willing to wonder, you play with me, we can go somewhere, baby, you know? But that's that piece. Oh yeah, just going back to the dating thing too, is like, I asked her, hey, I'm going to count to 30 and I'm going to find you. Go, you know? And I was just saying, let's play hide and seek for a little bit in this park. And then she was like, I don't do that. I'm an adult. And we ended up hanging out an hour after, but I was already complete. I was just like, okay, that's a deal breaker. That don't even work for me. You know, I gave her a lollipop at the end with a little monkey I drew. And I said, have a good day. And I left, you know? but yo, that's the thing, bringing play. That's why in Flowmasters, we always start with the scat. It's like, get out of your head. Stop taking yourself so seriously. Like, wiggle around a little bit, you know, you know, be willing to break whatever you might feel is a social convention. Social conventions don't exist inside of the Flowmasters. Like, and so, you know, inside of doing more Flowmasters, like, just bringing more flay. I've been playing with this idea more of like how I can gamify my life more. You know, I've been freestyling when I hate folding laundry. Now I listen to lo-fi and I'm freestyling about how much I hate folding laundry while I'm doing it. And I start to actually, ironically, I just start to enjoy it more, dude. And so I'm bringing Flowmasters into my life, which means I'm bringing more play into my life. And like, if people, I don't know if people are watching this or you're listening to it, I'm actually smiling. You probably hear it through my voice. I'm having a good time right now. And I think that the more that we can invite the sense of play, like schedule play, whatever that looks like for you, schedule something that brings the play out of you. You like coloring? Allow yourself to be a kid for an hour a week. Like, allow that, invite that in, because from a play, that's where, like, if you're not used to being in a place of play, it starts to bring different thoughts in your mind. You start to think different things. You start to feel a different way. And when you feel a different way, it opens new lines for different behaviors to take place. And if we can create a cycle on that, that starts to slowly shape-shift a new life, shape-shift the trajectory. And that's what I feel Flowmasters does. But underneath it, it's like, it is having that playful spirit that is not exclusive to children. But for some reason, preconceptive notions, the more we learn, the more we do things, the more society or something has us that like it's wrong or it's not adult-like, when that is a treasure trove for massive creativity and innovation.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
No, I definitely saw the flow in that. and what I also, again, pull out of that is just like, whenever we limit ourselves in play, we also, what results from that is like judgment, right? Like, oh, I'm too old to go hide and seek. There's a judgment to that, right? And I think when there's a judgment to, I'm sure even anybody listening might have some judgment about what we're even talking about here, about this whole podcast, about you, about how you're expressing things, sure, about whatever, sure, right? And I think that judgment then contains you from expanding into new experiences, into new beliefs, into new perspectives, yeah, into learning from other people. And so I really appreciate that what you're doing is building that sort of core skill in getting yourself out of your own judgment. And that then like branches out into many other areas you might take into your workplace, into your relationships.
Imagine a little more play in a relationship,
right?
A little more play with just coworkers, but in a you know, EQ, you know about EQ, but like in like a tactful way. You're not just gonna like do some crazy shit, pull out a whip cushion, put it in your boss's face, right, and stuff like that. Or maybe you will, you know, but like, that's what I think the beauty of is that as we age too, we get more experience. Right. Some experiences that we get, if we don't look back, we can be blinded by it. And then we're not aware of what actually really triggers us when it was really an imprint from something that happened in childhood, right? But like the more that we are live life, we develop wisdom. We develop lessons. And so it's like, it's perfect. We're actually, the play that we can bring from as a kid to the wisdom that we now have, like that's power. Mm-hmm. That is powerful. And that'll look different for each person. But I think that's a really powerful, it's something that I have every intent to take with me for the rest of my life, is never forgetting that there's a playful kid inside of me that's massively creative, that wants to have a good time. And now I wager that with my wisdom.
That's super cool. And children, for the most part, are already like very wise beings too. Like they have this intuition that is sometimes more wise than so many older grandpa and grandmas out there that might be set in their ways. But I actually want to maybe transition slightly into the question that was asked earlier in the beginning, was what does being a badass Asian dude mean to you? Both from the badass side, from the Asian side, and also from the dude.
Yeah. So for anybody listening, I am totally also curious to know what it means to you. So take everything that I say with a grain of salt, for one. And the way, with that being said, being a badass Asian dude to me, first off, it means to me is being one who is connected with their emotions, so that they're emotionally aware, you know, and they'll even look at the labels, you know, they'll look at the labels of certain things inside the world of a physiological response, you know, and, you know, when something's coming up, they have body awareness. They'll see like what's coming up for me. And then that I think is a great prerequisite before the label. There's a body sensation. And by doing that too, then we won't, it's like there's less of taking this whole notion of disappointment, you know, or this whole label of anxiety or fear as seriously, when we know that these are human constructed things. This thing that's coming out of my mouth right now, us as humans at some point created it after we got colonized. Like this wasn't even my birth language. My birth language probably was going to be Japanese, right? But even that was created by humans, but we have these things that are going on in our body. And so being cognizant of our physiological, having a sensory awareness and how that relates to our emotions, I think is really powerful. So they're emotionally aware. Another one too is, I would say they're value driven. And I mean that in two different ways. One, value driven is contributing value, right? So they're focused on actually helping other people. They're on contributing to the well-being of X people's lives. It doesn't have to be the whole world, you know? It's focused outwards to how can I make a difference? And then also value centric in, they are aware of where their core values are, what their core values really are. And so for me, for instance, I'm very clear that gratitude is my highest value. You know, I make sure that I have my itadakimasu moments every day, which basically just means thank you for everything that it took to make this happen. They don't have a word for that in English, but this is my way of paying homage to those that come before me. And we can do that at any point. I call it an itadakimasu moment. It just takes 2 to 3 minutes. But you know, discipline and courage, those are two other big values. Those are like really high values for me. I value structured freedom. I value a sense of structure. I value my morning ritual. That's discipline, you know? So value driven, my core values, and contributing value is a big piece. And another one that comes to mind is personal responsibility. And so a great question for those of you who know, like coaching, a big part of coaching is really asking, learning how to ask questions. And they're oftentimes empowering, open-ended questions. And so personal responsibility could look like anytime you find yourself triggered, what is it about me that really has me triggered? Instead of blaming, instead of diffusing responsibility, it's pointing it inward. It's turning the mirror and being like, hey, wait, what is it that I'm really upset about? How might I have played a part in this? And so I think a badass Asian dude is someone that's going to turn the mirror like this and realize that the blame game is likely a part of how they relate to themselves. And the more that they could do this and do that, that's where they start to get their power back, because they realize that no one's taking away your power as much as you're taking away it from yourself. So I mean, personal responsibility is a huge one for it. And another one too, and this is my complete bias, but there's the reason why in spiritual scriptures it's brought up a lot, is I think a badass Asian dude is grateful. I brought in the itadakimasu moment, and I think that gratitude is so powerful in the world. And if I really take the time to slow down and just to pay mind and attention to the things and to the blessings and the gifts and the miracles that are my life, like really this moment right now, y'all, is a freaking miracle. This moment right here, so many of the million fragments of moments and things that had to happen sequentially in order for this moment to take place right now, to be wherever you are, whether you're in the car, whether you're in the bathroom taking a shit, wherever it is, there's so many different moving pieces that had to play, so many different people that had to make it possible for this moment to happen where exactly you are. And that is, that gratitude is, it gets me out of what I call ruts. It has me more connected. You know, it's a big part of my meditating with my mom in the mornings. Gratitude's a big one. And I see it transforming our relationship. And we start with breath and gratitude. And so I think that gratitude is a characteristic of a badass Asian dude.
Well, yeah, I haven't been on the other bad podcast where we asked this question, but I think that's probably the best answer that we heard so far. I'm willing to put some money on that. So, hey, thank you for sharing that. You know, I wrote down a bunch of them, you know, because I think these should be added to, you know, like our tenets of like what our expectations are for people in this group. And I think you asked earlier, you know, like, you know, what our definition of a badass Asian dude is. And, you know, I think that, you know, being that I've been with that group since the beginning, before I took over, and I think the group was in existence for, I think, almost a year before we decided to, or not we decided, before they asked us to take over and change the group. But, you know, I would say that the way people looked at badass Asian dudes was, or what a badass Asian dude was, you know, someone that was kind of like that archetype of like, oh, that's the guy I want to be like when I grow up, you know, like the good looking dude, the rich dude, the successful dude, the dude that had a bunch of girlfriends, the guy that, you know, at the beach has a 6-pack abs and, you know, just looks great in his Speedo and stuff. Right. And, you know, I do think those attributes are still pretty badass, you know, because those are things that I think a lot of people want to at least be able to do if they were able to do it. But, you know, what we really wanted to do was to transform, you know, what people thought of as a badass Asian dude to something a lot more deeper, you know, someone that is emotionally aware, someone who takes accountability, someone who has gratitude for the things that are in front of them, and make it much less accomplishment based, but much more, you know, how are you as a person versus what have you done, you know? But I think if you could do both, and that truly is kind of like a transcendent badass Asian dude, right?
That That is so true. And I think that goes into the second piece that I said is of being value driven, as far as not just contributing value and also is understanding your values. That person that's yoked and he's got nice pecs, he got the 8-pack going on. If like looking at that, I don't look, just looking to be like, that's necessarily super badass to me. What would make me badass is, dude, that's freaking awesome. Like what inspired you? What motivated you to do that? And he's like, well, I remember, you know, if I heard a response like, I just want to get all the badass chicks, you know? I wouldn't think that's that badass, man. But if I heard like, you know, I was really scrawny growing up, you know, and I never believed that I can be that big. And then if something clicked in me, you know, that I was just like, no, I can. And so me sculpting my body is a testament to transforming my belief. So to make it possible for other people out there that may not believe that they are capable of something, that they can do it. That is badass. And that's a value driven. And that's a value driven achievement. So that totally is in line with the second part, you know? And I think that's badass.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think the one part that I really want to stress that I think is super important is being value driven and wanting to give back and to serve a higher purpose. Because, you know, what's the point of being a badass if you're the only badass, right? And the interesting thing about that is, you know, I'm speaking from experience, which is, you know, in my group, I was the badass of my group. And as my friends started maturing and becoming badasses themselves, I kind of felt a little threatened, to be honest. You know, I was like, oh shit, my role is like starting to change in this group. You know, like before I'd be like, all right, we're getting Carl's Jr. or we're getting Jack in the Box. Everyone's just like, yeah, you know, we'll go get this fast food. Now it was kind of like this other guy was like starting to have more influence. And then ultimately, you know, when I started understanding like serving the greater good is so much more fulfilling than just doing stuff for yourself, you know, I could embrace the other badasses. I started going, oh shit, I don't need to choose and figure out where we need to eat. I could just kick back, smoke some weed and let Victor choose where we go. And I'll just go sit in the back seat and enjoy and go for the ride. And when it's my turn to have to step up, then I'll step up too, you know, because I learned those skills in the past. So yeah, but this whole value-driven thing is super duper, like it resonates with me so much because that's why I volunteer at school. You know, even though I'm super busy, it's like helping these kids. That feeling that you get from helping, you know, it's, to me, it's better than anything that happens in business. You know, like that makes me happy too, you know, because I know, oh shit, I could go buy a new computer or I could buy this or that, but it's not the same as like watching these kids' faces light up. They level up inside and you know, they just knew that they leveled up because they figured out some new trick. Yeah, that's the best thing to me. Yeah, I love that you said value-driven.
That's awesome. Like a few things come to mind when you had mentioned that. Well, actually, is there any other questions?
No, I mean, I would be curious to go into like the how our Asian identity kind of impacts
let's get into that. Yeah,
as well. Yeah, because I was gonna comment on like the fact that, you know, I think for Asian American standpoint, maybe one of our values is maybe leaning towards the American side of like, I gotta do things for me and like, you know, make myself look good or whatnot. And, but more on the East Asian side is that collective thought of how can I contribute to a community? How can I provide value? And that's kind of a theme that I heard from both of you here is kind of like, not only are you value driven in terms of, you know, acting and living to your own values, but how can you provide value to others? How can you also, you know, help others or bring others up with you? That's pretty badass when you can actually do that for others.
Yeah. So I definitely have thoughts on that. You want me to just branch off of that, or do you have a specific question?
No. I didn't have a specific question.
Yeah. No. So no, that's really great. I think that, you know, for all of you listening out there, mostly are going to be Asian American dudes. I really think that we have an advantage. And that's because here we are integrating into an individualistic culture, and we came from a collectivistic one, right? So there's like this understanding of maybe even it can feel innate understanding of, hey, I'm a part of a whole, and then also I'm also an individual. And to have that awareness of both, I think is super powerful. It's not like one's necessarily better than the other, but like actually having both, there's a more of this whole holistic piece to come from. And so just to let you know, I might be different in some respects from a lot of the other Baddest Asian dudes out there, in the sense that I'm a fourth generation Japanese American, right? So my family lineage, my grandparents spoke perfect English after World War II. That probably had a big reason as to them not passing down Japanese to my parents. They don't speak Japanese, you know? So I speak a little bit, but I really grew up integrated in this culture. And yet it's so interesting how, you know, the more that when I lived in Japan, and then I learned a little bit more about my lineage, just how that sense of, you know, like not really wanting to speak up or really wanting to share your emotions, it just was not prevalent in the household. And not that my parents were being neglectful at all, that they provided in so many different ways, and just, I love you, or I'm feeling this way or that. We didn't talk about that. You know, and so that was just something that I had to learn. You know, it's just it was a messy journey. And even when I say I love you to my mom, it's a lot more comfortable now. But you know, I had to introduce that in 2012, basically, and it was like the weirdest thing. I didn't get I love you back. You know, it was strange. And it gives, and so that, I know that there's challenges that come in trying to equip ourselves, maybe with emotional intelligence, which we talk about, is not something that we're known for as Asian Americans for. And it's understandable. You know, it's understandable that, you know, also just coming over here into a new country and then having to be strong, you know, and having to learn new things, and then having that sense of stoicism is also, it's powerful in its own way, but it's only one way. And so that's why I think that we are really, we're really have a lot of potential. Like, we can really have great influence in the future and in leadership roles. And you know what, actually something that kind of pissed me off, but like, it's like, oh, this is an area for growth. I read an article one time, I don't know if it was Harvard Business Review but I read an article one time that had mentioned that Asians and Asian Americans represent the lowest percentage when it comes to managerial roles than other races.
Right.
And I forgot where that came from. But I was, when I read that article, I'm like, oh, that shit's going to change. You know, that shit's going to change. And so I think that, you know, the Asian identity, I see how it has shaped me. And also, I'm so grateful to have that sense of collective on how you can work together and actually band together. Let's never forget that as we're expanding the Badass Asian Dudes as well. Know that we're Badass Asian Dudes together, you know, like, that it's not about us competing and trying to pull out who got the biggest pecs. And I'm not taking away that competition's not competition's dope too. You want to get better? Like, you want to get better, but like, it's almost this sense of like, who are you competing with? And who are you competing against, and who are you competing with? Who's on your team? No?
Well, I think it's competition. That healthy competition is competing to reach new heights without tearing others down,
beating people down, right?
Exactly. Yeah. And I think that's maybe the misconception there is, you know, when we feel like we need to get on top, that we have to push someone else down. But that's not how a productive society, I think, could work. So I want to be mindful of our time here. This is such lots of gems in here, which for anyone listening, we'd all love to connect with you and you know, learn more about anything that you might have drawn out of for yourself. And especially as we're starting to build up this podcast, want to continue making this really relevant to where you're at and what kinds of obstacles you might be facing too. So love to hear from you. But one question I guess I want to leave with you, Gavin, here is what's one piece of advice that that you might be adopting or working on for yourself when it comes to becoming a badass Asian dude?
One is, this advice is like, I'm getting a lot of people that are coming and sharing their opinions to me about like how to raise, do flow masters, how things to go. So it's just like, it's this sense of, it's like a dance of a receptivity. I'm like, I'm not going to shut myself off from other people and saying, you know, I want to be receptive to what other people have to say. I think it's helpful to kind of like also know just about what my reputation or what people think of me. I think that's a healthy, not to dwell in that overly, but to be aware of that. So to have this awareness, and then from that, checking back in with myself, you know, what do I really desire? You know, what is really the purpose? And just remembering that, like, check in with your inner wisdom, Gavin, your inner wisdom.
Yeah.
And then use that to, and have an awareness of what's going on and go back into your inner wisdom.
Cool.
So I think inner wisdom, just going back into that. Sometimes meditation or slowing down my breath helps me to get back in touch with that.
That's awesome. Yeah. So kind of really, you know, learning to be receptive from others, but also making sure that you're still connected to
from a practical point of view, for those of you who are like, okay, that sounds really lofty, how do I make that more practical? So I would say, you know, if you don't have like some type of centering practice, is doing some type of conscious breathing practice. You can YouTube it. You can Headspace. It's an app. You can go on Calm. It's an app. iBreathe is a great app that teaches box breathing and intervals. And then from there, it's like just checking in. It's like, what do I really desire right now?
I'd actually even get just, sorry to cut you off, but to even more practical is build out a list of, because this is the theme of like, oh, so many people telling me what to do, right? Getting overwhelmed with information overload. Build out a list of all the things that you want, maybe 25 things, circle only 5 of them, and the 20 other ones is what you should avoid. That's what you need to like purposely not do so that you can really focus on what is true.
That's great. That requires a sense of prioritization and right. Discernment. Yeah. So that's a good one too.
And to say no to things as well.
Yeah, that's a good one. What I was getting at is even the first desire that comes up is going into the 7 levels of why that Dean Graziosi talks about. And he talks about, you just go into why, and then whatever the answer is, why, and go down to 7 levels. And that really gets you down to, it gets really hard. Mm-hmm. It gets really hard. And it really warrants really getting deep on what is your real motive for this thing that you so-called claim to desire.
Well, awesome. Well, definitely awesome to have you here, Gavin. And it's been super cool to just be a part of what you've been building here as well. I'm excited to see where that all goes. Where could people find you or attend one of your Flowmaster sessions?
Absolutely. So probably be checking out the links, but you can just search up Flowmasters in the Facebook. There'll probably be links in the bottom. That's actually the Facebook group that I'm slowly building out. There's also Eventbrite. There's something called Virtual Flowmasters Friday that I do every single Friday from 5 to 6:15 p.m. PST. And it is really special, y'all. Like, come check it out. Victor has come out. Sable has come out. And actually other people from Badass Asian Dudes have come out. And so come out, check it out. Even if you wanted to come out and you didn't want to participate at first because you're trying to test the waters, cool, just come out. And you just might find yourself wanting to jump in because that's how it tends to go. But with that, like, definitely come out. You'll be seeing a glimmer of what it's going to be inside of these Fridays. And I love it. I absolutely love it.
So exciting.
Yeah. And what about if someone wants to hire you as a mindset coach, how could they find you?
If someone wants to hire me as a mindset coach, then you can go on to GavinMasumia.com. So it's my full name.com. You can see the different services that I also offer there. And then from there, you can go into my Calendly and then schedule a consultation. And then we can go from there. When it comes to also one-on-ones, I'm pretty exclusive, so I don't just work with anybody. And if you're really serious about that and you're willing to make that commitment, because time is really precious, yeah, reach out to me because I'm here to work with badasses that want to be badasser.
Awesome. Awesome. Man, I think a prerequisite to being a badass Asian dude is going to Flowmasters. That's just me. I think that's true. So, hey, thank you everyone for listening to this episode of Badass Asian Dudes. Victor, as always, thank you for being the co-host. You did an excellent job. Gavin, you killed it as always. I'm so happy to have met you. You've really enriched my lives. And for everyone listening here, you know, if this sounds good to you, if you think someone will benefit from this, please leave a review. Please share this podcast. give us a thumbs up, you know. That'll really help with the iTunes, the Spotify algorithms. And yeah, if you guys have any questions, comments, things like that, leave them in the comments section. We'll get them to Gavin and we'll make sure everyone gets their questions answered. Any last words, gentlemen?
I love connecting with other badass Asian dudes. So, holler and have a badass rest of your day.
And if you aren't already part of the Facebook group, definitely search Facebook for Badass Asian Dudes, or just go to facebook.com/groups/badassasiandudes. And we'd love to have you there.
And check out Flowmasters for real though. Okay, that's going to be the last plug. Check it out. You will not be disappointed. Period.
Let's go.